Two Sundays ago, if you were here, the Gospel of Luke took us from the mountain down onto the plain, where, in the words of Brent Butt from Corner Gas, there's nothing to block your view. Jesus meets us in the midst of life and calls us to come close. Today, we've gone back up the mountain. Mountains have a way of disrupting your perspective. You cannot see things the same way again. Mountains have a way of undoing what you believed about where you stand. When I think about mountains I have climbed, whether in an Arizona heat wave, in Peru with strep throat and unbalanced blood sugar levels, in windy Scotland with recovering lower back strength, or even in Alberta on a perfectly beautiful day, there is usually a feeling of, what is this mountain going to do to me? Did Peter, John, and James ask themselves this question as they climbed this mountain? Should they have, if they had been paying attention? According to the story, Peter has had 8 days to mull over what brought him to say to Jesus, "You are the Messiah of God." 8 days to consider Jesus' words, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." What is this mountain going to do to us? Jesus and his friends went up the mountain to pray. And while praying together, they experienced transformation. When the disciples look at Jesus, they see the glory of God. They are dazzled by God's presence in the one Peter has recognized and named as God's anointed. It is Jesus who is transfigured, as we say, but it is also the disciples who are transformed, who are invited to commune with Elijah and Moses as Jesus does, and to hear them speak of the road that Jesus would soon take to Jerusalem and to death. Transformation may be awesome and wondrous, but it can also leave us quite uncertain of how to carry on. If we know that something of the way we've always known has changed, even if it is everything we've hoped for, how do we carry on with our living of this new reality in the same world we've always known? What if others don't understand us or doubt our sincerity? What if what we've learned in this area makes us have to change how we live in others? What if we just fear that we don't have all the answers for this new path we find ourselves on? We don't know what we don't know. Peter of the recent confession of faith, would like to hit pause on this mountain experience. What is this mountain doing to him? Perhaps it's his best attempt at a response to the awe within him. Let's stay here. Perhaps it's his fear of this talk of Jesus' departure, his desire to avoid the pain to come. Let's stay here. Perhaps it's his inability to imagine how to live on the plain after what this mountain has done to them. Let's stay here. We'll build shelters. It will be safe here. But then a cloud rolls in, as if removing their sense of sight so that all attention goes to hearing a voice from the cloud. Voices from the skies are not all that common an occurrence in the Gospels. In Luke 3, after Jesus is baptized, a voice from heaven says to him, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." And here on this mountain, a voice says to the disciples, "This is my son, my beloved, my chosen. Listen to him." At baptism, Jesus is spoken to directly. You are my beloved child. God delights in offering a blessing, in saying, you are my very own. Before your ministry has even begun, I am well pleased with you. And this blessing has an echo on Transfiguration Mountain, but is spoken to the others listening in. This is my child whom I have chosen. Pay attention. Listen. Let it sink in through your ears and into your living. What had this mountain done to them? On another mountain, Moses had once been handed 10 words to build a covenant between God and God's people, and his face also shone like the sun. On yet another mountain, Elijah had once been lost in despair, and God came to him not in dazzling light or thundering storm, but in utter stillness. And to both, God said, go on down the mountain and live as I have taught you. The mountain does something to us. It disarms us. It changes our vision. It may show us the glory of God. But most of our living happens down from the mountain. The call to listen to Jesus is a call to obedience, to following. We are called to live on the plain in the very ways that the mountain has changed us, knowing that as Jesus returned to the mountain to pray, we also are invited to return and remember and receive and recommit to each of our daily paths of following. Today in baptism, we celebrate encounters with Christ that have been transformative. And not every mountain experience is a sudden dazzling of light. Some are step by step, learning to put our feet in good places on new paths until we realize our view has been transforming all the way along. Today we meet on the mountain to be blessed and astounded by the glory of God. We bear witness to 2 beloved daughters of God choosing the one who has chosen them, declaring their desire to follow Christ in life. We remember our own baptisms or listen for the still small voice that might be calling you to a new commitment. And we will receive here at the Lord's table all that we need to follow Christ in the world, bread of life for the journey, and a cup of grace and blessing, shared in community as we share ourselves with the world. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, all of us, with unveiled faces, that is, we don't need to quench the presence of God within us. All of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. What Paul was saying was that we are growing into the glory of Jesus. What will this mountain do to us? You are God's beloved child, with whom God is well pleased. Let us listen for the presence of God among us.